Who loves God's word? All right, four of you. Who loves God's word? Come on. Isn't it good? The Bible is awesome. It's full of truth. It's full of beautiful poetry. It's full of amazing wisdom. And it's full of things that punch you right in the middle of the forehead. And this morning is one of those passages. And I was going to make a nice little joke, you know, about this. You know, dearly beloved, we're gathered here today, but it's stolen, so that's okay. But I want you to think back to your high school days. I want you to think back. For some of you, it was just a few weeks ago. For some of you, maybe a few years. For others of you, I'm not going to mention. But I want you to imagine that day that everybody was lined up and you were getting picked for teams, all right? For some of you, you're going, this is bringing back really bad memories. I think I'm going to need counseling after this. And for others of you, you're like, yeah, I was one of those ones that got picked first. Well, you know what it was like. They'd line everybody up, and they'd pick two captains. And the one captain would stand up there and go, I want Johnny. The other one would go, I want Becky, and I want Matt, and I want... And slowly but surely, all of the jocks would get picked. And then there would just be a bunch of wimpy nerds left over. That was me. And you knew that if you got picked to be on the team that had the most jocks, the ones who were more popular, the ones who were much better at sports, you had a really good chance of winning. But you knew if you were picked to be with the majority of the nerds and the short, wimpy kids, that you were in for a beating of biblical proportions. I mean, who remembers those days? Yeah? Yeah? Am I alone? No? Am I the only wimpy kid here? All right. This morning is kind of like that. This morning is kind of like that passage. There are two teams. There's the team of the kingdom of God, the sheep, and there's the team of the kingdom of the world, the goats. There's God's team, and there's Satan's team, the winners and the losers. But if we're not careful, we can kind of take this passage out of context, and we can actually get it rather wrong. See, I think many Christians and pastors and people, I'm sure with well-meaning hearts, have done just that. You know, it's been said that the gospel is so simple that a child can understand it, and yet it's so profound and brilliant that the most amazing, brilliant minds in the world can study it for their whole lives, and it takes a lifetime to mine its wisdom. And passages like these can easily be understood as go and help the least of these. Give to charity, open your home to those in need, practically love people who are hurting, rejected. It's the social part of the gospel, and it's there for sure. It's the love your neighbor bit. It's the acts of love bit. And we love that stuff, don't we? I mean, our culture loves people who are generous and go and do things like that. I mean, why do famous celebrities adopt 10 kids from Africa? And why do they go and do these things and put their names behind these charities? Because our culture loves social justice. But the social gospel alone is not the complete gospel, is it? I mean, what's our mission statement as a church? To share the life-changing good news of Jesus in our community with words of hope and acts of love. It's two bits, isn't it? It's two parts. And I didn't have that written down, by the way. I hope you have our mission statement memorized because it's really important. But the social gospel is not the whole gospel. Doing good is not the only point of what Christ did, is it? When asked by a rich man how someone gets saved, Jesus didn't say, if you go and do what I did, go and help the poor, go heal the sick, go cast out demons, go set captives free, then you'll be saved. Jesus didn't say that. He said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Go and love, come and follow. Go and serve, then come and be with me. Die to yourself and live to God. So this morning, as we focus on our team headed to India, as I hope your prayers are focused on us for the next couple of weeks, as you pray for those beautiful children we're going to be falling in love with and crying when we leave, I hope that you remember that the gospel isn't just the go and serve bit. And I want to encourage us with three thoughts this morning. One, eternity rests on who we serve. Number two, eternity rests on why we serve. And number three, eternity rests on being ready. So will you pray with me? Jesus, again, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that you've given us your word and that you sent your word, Jesus, in real history, that he was a real person, that he not only gave us an example to follow, but he also showed us the truth of who you are, God. So this morning we pray that we would not just walk away with a we should do good, but that we would walk away with both parts of the gospel. We should do good and we should follow Jesus. So Lord, help us to do that this morning, we pray in your name. Amen. Number one, eternity rests on who we serve. See, Jesus' teaching on the sheep and the goats, I think it makes it pretty clear who the sheep are, doesn't it? They're the ones who they're the ones who went and did the serving. The ones who fed the hungry, took care of the sick, went to prison and took care of the people that were there. I mean, in those days, prison wasn't like it is today. I mean, who's been to prison before? Wow, that's pretty good. Who's visited prison before? Maybe a better question. Yeah, my father-in-law was a chaplain in prison, and now my mother-in-law is actually a mental health nurse in a prison up in Brisbane. So she goes to jail every day. It's a pretty fun joke in our family. But she sees what life's really like behind bars. It's pretty cushy. TV whenever you want it. Well, most of the time whenever you want it. Good food. It's actually pretty cushy. But back in Jesus' day, maybe what you should do is head to Mexico one day and break the law and go to jail in Mexico and see what it's like. Maybe go to Bali and do something wrong and see what jail is like. It's not cushy. It's not fun. You don't get fed three meals a day. And so when Jesus said, go and visit those in prison, it was a big deal. But what did he mean? Who did those people go and serve? I mean, what I mean is, did Jesus mean that we should serve anybody and everybody who is sick, hungry, thirsty, naked, or in prison? Is that what he meant? I think there's two answers to that. I think it's a yes, and I think it's also a no. See, there are countless passages in the Bible that are about serving the poor, going and blessing people. There are countless passages. That is a part of our life as a follower of Jesus. It has to be. Why would Pastor Jay and his family devote their entire lives to doing just that if it wasn't a part of God's word? But none of those passages in the Bible say that we are saved because we serve, do they? I mean, I'm talking to the choir here. I mean, you know all this stuff. But I read this in a commentary this week that really flipped my understanding of this passage. Jesus is making it clear that this passage means that we're to care for the body of Christ, and that's what separates the sheep from the goats. Whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers and sisters. Who are Jesus' brothers and sisters? Everybody? Unfortunately, the really hard truth of the gospel is not everybody is in God's family. It's the hard truth of the gospel. Not everybody is a child of God. It's only those who choose to accept his gift. Then we become children of God. We're not born children of God. We don't somehow fall into being a child of God. The gospel is very clear. Unless we choose for ourselves, we're not a child of God. Unless we choose to accept his gift. Whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers, you did for me. Who we serve is just as important as the serving itself. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't help those who are Christians. I mean, one of the best ways to actually share the gospel with someone is by serving them. I mean, they don't have a 90% hit rate at ICMC because they tell people the gospel. They don't have a 90% hit rate at ICMC because they give some people some meals. They have a 90% hit rate because they do both. They share the gospel of Jesus and they meet practical needs. I'm not saying we shouldn't care for people, that we shouldn't be God's eyes to the rest of the world. I mean, Jesus was saying that we need to be serving the body. That needs to be a big part of what we do. What did Jesus say? They'll know that we are Christians by our moral teachings. No. They'll know we're Christians by our social conscience. Well, in that case, most people would be Christians. No. They'll know we are Christians by our love one for another. The way we treat our fellow Christians is how we treat Jesus. So challenge number one, how are you treating your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you have issues with people in church? Do you need to mend some hurt feelings and ask and seek forgiveness? Or maybe more chest pokey, do you come to church and leave each week without so much as talking to another person? Are you at all concerned about seeing who God wants you to bless and to serve and to give a shoulder to cry on when you come to be with his church, his body? How are you treating your fellow Christians? But not just here at church, but those around the world as well. Do you pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters in countries where they're being killed and tortured and executed and families taken, torn apart, and horrible things happening because they claim the name of Jesus? Are you praying for them? Are you supporting organizations that do something in those situations? Are you supporting organizations that have a clear gospel message, not just things like that do not just organizations that do nice things, but organizations that actually further the kingdom? If God asked you, would you go to serve in those places? How are you treating your fellow Christians? Eternity rests on who we serve. Number two, eternity rests on why we serve. You know, a shorter but just as important thought. I think it's quite clear that throughout the New Testament, we are not saved because we serve and do good things, but we are saved so that we will go and serve and do good things. It's clear, isn't it? We don't get saved by doing good things. It's not our deeds that save us, but our deeds show that we're saved. Jesus separates the sheep and the goats also based on this why. Both groups ask the same question. Did you notice that in the passage? They both ask the same question, but the question is different. The sheep ask, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or in danger or needing clothes or didn't have a home? When did we see you in prison? I mean, we didn't even notice that we served you, is really their heart. Their heart isn't, when did we see you? Their heart is, I was just so busy doing the things of the kingdom. I was just so busy loving people because you've loved me so much. I didn't even notice that was you I was serving. I was just serving because that's what your brothers and sisters do. While the heart of the goats is more than likely, I didn't even know you needed help. I mean, I was just so busy, you see. I mean, how can you condemn me for not knowing you needed help? I mean, I was busy. I mean, what did you have anyways? So, question for you. Why do you do good? Is it because you've been loved so much? I hope so. So, challenge number two. Why do you give? Why do you serve? Why do you love people? I know this was me for the first couple of years of my life as a Christian. Is it because you somehow believe that God will accept you? Or vice versa, he won't accept you if you don't go and do those things? Is that maybe one of those thoughts? Are you trying to earn God's favor rather than rest in his mercy and his grace and then live out of that place? If you're honest and you find in yourself even a hint of that trying to earn your salvation. And let's be honest. I think most of us have been there at one point in our lives, whether it's today or whether it's years ago. But if that's you, then I guess the word for you this morning is repent. Confess to God that you're sorry for not believing his love is greater than you can imagine. For not taking him at his word that he saves you because of him, not because of you. Ask him to give you a revelation of his great love for you and his mercy for you so that you don't live a religion of do, 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 but be his child. But if you love because you know how much you've been loved, if you're honest this morning and you've searched your heart and you know that the reason you serve is because, man, you're just full of it. You're full of God's love and you just want to share that, then keep loving. Keep finding ways, seeking ways to serve and give. Go beyond what happened yesterday and help others do the same. Bring other people alongside you. Train others. Show others what it's like to live as a sheep. Eternity rests on who we serve. Eternity rests on why we serve. And number three, eternity rests on being ready. See, this passage is set in the context of two chapters in Matthew's gospel where Jesus is teaching about the end times. I don't know if you've read chapters 24 and 25. There's some pretty full-on stuff in there. Matthew 24, Jesus gives some really straight teaching on the signs of the end times when he'll return. It's some pretty strong, straight up stuff. Read it. It's awesome. But he gives some really clear teaching about what's going to happen before he returns. Then in this chapter, he tells two parables. One about being ready for when he returns, some virgins with lamps, some that have oil and some that don't. And then one about using our talents that we've been given to make ready for the kingdom. You've probably heard those before. But the sheep were different from the goats, and they were different because they were prepared. They were ready for Jesus' return because they were being obedient by serving and loving and caring for the least of these, by caring for the body of Christ and bringing others into it. They were ready because their salvation was in Christ and not religion. They were ready. So challenge number three, are you ready? Many of you, it's a resounding yes. You're ready. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're ready. So are you prioritizing Jesus in your life? Is probably a better question. Are you prioritizing time with him every day? Loving him, growing in your intimacy with him, learning how to hear his voice speak to you, not just through his word, but through your thoughts and your heart and your mind as you ask him to direct you. Are you learning to hear his voice speak to you directly? Are you learning to study and crave his word, not just hear it on a Sunday morning, but actually dig into it for yourself and eat some meat during the week? Are you studying and examining his word to see what it says? Are you serving and loving and caring for the least of these? Are you ready for when Christ returns? But if you're not a follower of Jesus, the truth is really clear in God's word. This isn't my opinion. In fact, I wish it was the opposite. But the fact is, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not ready. You're a goat. I'm sorry, but that's what God's word says. You're a goat. The Bible's clear that without making the choice to admit our need for God and asking his forgiveness, we're all goats. It's only by accepting his offer of forgiveness, his offer of eternal life, and choosing to follow him, not just believe, but believe and follow. It's only then that we can call ourselves children of God. It's only then that he changes our jersey from a goat's jersey, not to a manly jersey, but to a sheep's jersey, to be welcomed into God's family. So are you ready? If Jesus came back today, Would he welcome you as a sheep? Or would you be left out in the cold where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? That's some of the language that Jesus used. You can imagine. Like, it's not fun. It's not a good outcome for those who don't follow Jesus. So are you ready? Have you received it for yourself, his offer of forgiveness and eternal life? If you're unsure if Jesus would welcome you, or you know for sure that he wouldn't, then what's stopping you? It's a free gift he offers. All it costs is your life. And it's the best life you can ever imagine. Can I challenge you this morning? Can I encourage you? Can I welcome and invite you to acknowledge to God your need of him, your need of his forgiveness, to choose to follow Jesus and trust that his death paid for your sins and that his resurrection gives you new life so that you can live for God? If that's you this morning, then I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, and I invite you to pray it after me. I invite all of us to pray this. It's a great prayer to just remind ourselves of what Jesus has done. But specifically for you this morning, if you don't know that Jesus would welcome you, I want Jesus to welcome you, and I invite you to pray this with me. Dear God, your word's hard, and I'm faced with the brutal truth this morning that some are in your family and some are not. And it's not because I'm good or they're bad or they're good and I'm bad. But it's because you're good and none of us are. And God, I acknowledge that this morning, that there's nothing in me that deserves your forgiveness. There's no goodness in me that deserves to be your child, because you're just too holy. And so God, as I throw myself at your feet and ask you to give me your mercy, I acknowledge to you, God, that I need you. I want what you offer. I want to be welcomed into your family. I want to become a child of God. Jesus, thank you that you offer it to me because of what you did. God, thank you that you welcome me into your family. I choose to believe that Jesus died in my place for my sins, that he was raised to life on the third day so that I can live for you. God, would you come into my life? Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Would you help me to learn what it means to follow you? And God, would you replace my goat's jersey with a sheep jersey? Would you help me to follow you now for the rest of my life, knowing that you're with me? Jesus, thank you that you've saved me. Thank you that you're with me. Help me to love the least of these. In Jesus' name. Lord God, thanks so much for today. Thank you that we had the chance to look at your word. We had the chance, God, to be challenged, to be poked in the chest. We had the challenge to be changed. Father, would you help us this week to love the least of these? Lord, for those that are in our family, would you help us to love them, whether that's overseas or here, even in our own body of Christ? God, would you help us to love the least of these, your brothers and sisters, our church family? Would you help us to be people who are easily forgiving, easily letting go of wrongs, easily letting go of our rights? And would you help us to put each other first? But Father, would you help us to also show that to the world, that as we love each other, that we would be a place, God, that is so full of joy and love and acceptance that people would flock to it. God, help us to love the least of these so that we can love the world and bring them to you to be a part of your family. Jesus, help us to do that. And as we go to India, as our team goes, Father, we pray that you would help us on that journey, not to go with all of these great things that we're going to do for Jesus, but help us to go with humble hearts, wanting to serve and to see what you're going to do. So Jesus, thanks for what you're going to do in your name. Amen.